Arm's Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in to the KER Politics, the McKinney-Corlin Political Opinion Hour. These are opinions on our part. I would like to get your views on whether you agree or disagree. We're going to start out, we're going to talk about the speech that Joe Biden gave last night. I watched it start to finish. Neighbor of mine watched it start to finish. He said the same thing that I felt. He said, Biden looks like a pretty sinister guy up there. He said, kind of reminds me of Hitler. And now that's not me talking, that's my neighbor talking. That's an opinion, that's his opinion. I want to say that whoever okayed that speech, in my opinion, made a very big mistake in terms of the American opinion of Joe Biden. It was really, really, in my opinion, out of place, in the sense that all he did was lambast the Republicans, although he did say there are plenty of good Republicans out there, but of course he was forced, I believe, to say that. I did not think it was a good speech. I will say that my progressive friends applauded it. I do not agree with them 100%. Neither does the Drudge Report, which I read this morning. They also their articles implicated, in my opinion, that it was not a good speech whatsoever. Jimmy, what was your opinion? I'm going to give you the whole segment, bud.
Yeah. So my thought is that Biden has now etched his place in history as being the most divisive president in American history, that he absolutely disenfranchised an attempt to alienate and politically attack about half the nation. And he's doing so at a time when he has polling numbers in the mid to high 30s, a very small percentage of the population supporting him. And he did it with the backdrop of this dark theme of red on the outside's blue, with Marines standing behind him, an incredibly political speech that was supposed to be a White House non-political speech. I think it was probably the lowest point of very many low points in this administration. And you have to question what's going on behind the scenes and what are the deeper messages that are being sent with this type of not only visualization, but this type of commentary, and how desperate or how nefarious are these actual people running this administration.
Jimmy, I'm going to be very interested in watching and reading some of the editorials that come out about that speech. Very interested. I'll be very interested in watching the editorial shows on Sunday. I'm sure they're going to be focusing on the speech. I don't really see how anybody could say that was a good speech in terms of bringing America back together. I don't think it worked. I think it was out of place. I think it was divisive, and I am so sorry that that happened.
Yeah, as an American, you got to wonder what the heck he was saying. With some of the comments, like, unite behind a single purpose of defending our democracy regardless of your ideology, but then completely alienates 75 million voters, and then uses the, and continually, 81 million votes. They wanted to change 81 million votes. A lot of people questioned whether Joe Biden was able to get 10 million more votes than Barack Obama. And of course, 6 million more than Donald Trump. A lot of people question that. I don't think he did anything at this point to actually encourage people that, in fact, he should have gotten 81 million votes. I think it's quite the opposite. But the imagery and the entire theme was actually created and crafted. And you've got to wonder what was going on behind the scenes. And you're right, the editorials are going to be, I think, they're already coming out fairly brutal for the most part. Even if you're a moderate, you've got to wonder what he was saying when he was alienating people and calling them semi-fascist and actually, MAGA forces, what they're doing to our country. It shows a level of desperation, but more sinisterly, it is using this theme that someone inside the White House thinks is a valuable theme. And let me explain it a little bit, Al. So, they came out with this, everyone just jumped on this, let's go Brandon, FJB, basically the mistake at NASCAR race where when the journalist actually said, oh, when the crowd was screaming and yelling F Joe Biden, she makes this comment, oh, listen, they're saying let's go Brandon talking about the NASCAR driver. When in reality, they were talking about Joe Biden and using very profane words. Now, that became a very big theme. Let's go Brandon indicates F Joe Biden.
Right.
Well, so what the left
and that,
has tried to do.
If I'm not mistaken, that doesn't necessarily depict him in a particularly positive manner. Is that correct?
No, it's a pretty negative statement. And of course, he was so incompetent, he actually repeated it once in a conversation or an interview. He said, oh yeah, let's go Brandon. But what has happened is somebody inside the White House, there's all these consultants and all these people that are actually hired in order to shape this imaging and messaging. And of course the tech companies and the millennials that are running this regime right now, the crazies, and of course the communists and the socialists behind the scenes, or at least the authoritarians, are trying to reshape Brandon into this idea of dark Brandon theme. And dark Brandon, you can see these memes that are coming out with Joe Biden being this tough guy.
Jimmy, let me ask you a question. Why do you say dark Brandon? I think that Brandon makes him look a little bit more like a fool. Why do you say dark Brandon?
No, listen to what's happening. They're trying, the White House and consultants are trying to reshape that negative let's go Brandon into this idea of dark Brandon, meaning this powerful force that's actually, it's basically reflecting a common theme from a Christopher Nolan Batman film, where dark, Batman basically was a good guy, but in a very dark way.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're trying to appeal to a certain, they're using some advisors to write these themes and to reshape him into this dark Brandon character, which is the Dark Knight from Christopher Nolan's Batman theme, which actually kind of reflects what's happening in America right now, but absolutely in the opposite way. Brandon is actually, in Biden and his regime are actually taking away individual rights and freedoms. They're actually silencing people. They're actually forcing people to take vaccinations in spite of, laws. They're doing all these different things to undermine the country and create civil disorder, but then they're trying to reshape this theme. And the imagery behind Joe Biden last night and the consistency of his talk was actually very consistent with this, or the foundations of his speech were very consistent with kind of changing this imagery. So some advisors, some consultants have given this idea that this is the way to reshape Joe Biden into some sort of warrior for the left or for the progressives or for people. But the problem is he's actually inciting people to violence. And he's appealing to a very small and a very narrow group of people, almost like, hey, Antifa guys, let's get back and burn down the cities like we did in summer of 2020. And it's incredibly damaging and very divisive. It is nothing to unify the country. It is absolutely alienating people that have a tremendous respect for the Constitution and are patriotic, attempting to re-grab the patriotism umbrella or put the flag around the Democratic Party now.
Just for a second, I'm going to take a real quick commercial break, but we're going to come back to this subject at the beginning of the next segment, ladies and gentlemen. Our opinion is that spread, that speech did not do the Democrats really any good, and I can say that's, I think, a valid opinion.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome back to KER Politics, the McKinney-Corlin Political Opinion Hour. We're going to talk a little bit more about, we've got about 8 minutes here. It's one of our shorter segments, so we're going to talk about what's our opinions about Biden's speech on Thursday, the 1st of September, which he gave, I want to stress, in Philadelphia. So far, our opinions are that he didn't really do himself any favors. He didn't do the Democrats any favors. I'm going to ask Jimmy to go on and opine on that a little bit more. Jimmy, you're on, bud.
Yeah, so we ended the last segment. I was talking about the incitement of violence. You know, he actually was, it appears to be very specifically targeting a group of people, the activists, the most, I guess, progressive, but not just progressive, potentially abusive people on the left. We all lived through the summer of 2020, where we watched literally hundreds of cities burn.
Right.
You know, over 200 cities, over $2 billion worth of damage that was created by Antifa and BLM riots around this country. Now, how do you mobilize them against a political opposition which is gaining massive ground? And what we're seeing in most of the primaries is America First, if you will, Trumpian or very conservative candidates are being put forward for the November election, winning their primaries because of a very strong stance against what's happening right now in Washington, D.C. with the Biden regime. So what he's doing is almost like trying to inflame. It appears to me, this is my view, it looks like they're trying, someone back that's writing these speeches and taking this agenda is trying to inflame those activists so they can get back involved and actually turn the tide and maybe justify pushback if they cheat or take more corrupt actions in the November elections.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, it's okay, I'll equate it very clearly. It's like Adolf Hitler in the early 30s inciting the brown shirts to violence, and then ultimately, you know, getting the government involved in Kristallnacht, you know, trying to destroy the Jews in the country.
Right.
That's almost the exact same parallel. He's targeting it's a minority, but a very large minority, if a minority at all, of people that are really fed up with what's happening in Washington. But he's using law enforcement, he's using intimidation, and he's inciting people that have a proven track record of being violent and destructive.
Jimmy, I have to interrupt you just for a second. Now, law enforcement has always been the backbone of America, in my opinion. The FBI has always been an organization that really has been in there to help the people. The police department has always been an organization that was, you know, who are you going to call? The police department. The police department came and saved my bacon and my wife's bacon one night when somebody was trying to break into our house, and that was years ago. How do the Democrats manage to get the FBI and the police department, in your opinion, on their side?
Well, I'm not arguing that the police department.
I know you're not arguing. Community, I'm just saying,
I don't think they're on Biden's side.
How do they manage to do that?
Like I say, I don't think local police departments are actually on his side. I don't think state police departments in many cases are on his side. I think certain elements within the FBI are definitely on his side, or at least on the government side. And they have now shifted their view from being responsible to the people of the United States to being responsible to protect the government. And with the threat of to the government as being a conservative ideology that says we need to get rid of a lot of the government, they're protecting the government.
Yeah.
And so the FBI in particular, what you have is a very successful effort by the Obama regime and to abuse the national security apparatus to spy on political opponents and then emplace people that supported their ideologies inside those powerful agencies in both Department of Justice and the FBI, as well as the intelligence community,
yeah,
where they were shaping information to appease a leader. And now if they are caught doing it, they're worse. So they're called out on it. So what are they doing? They're attempting to cover it up. And you can see it with all the intel officials that signed the letter saying that Hunter Biden's laptop was Russian misinformation, when in fact, there was no evidence it was, and the FBI knew that it wasn't because they'd had it for over a year. So that's how they've done this. Over a slow period of time, the Obama administration used the 9/11, the Patriot Act, to slowly infiltrate his people into government, and that now government is protecting itself, not the people. Mm-hmm. Local government, yes, in America, we want to call 911 and have someone show up, right?
Yeah.
Many places in the world, that doesn't happen. I would say in most places in the world, that doesn't happen. We're very used to it. What we're seeing now, though, with the politicalization of law enforcement and the military, and you're seeing it with all these, with Mark Milley, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, undermining President Trump by calling the Chinese at the during the January 6th events and telling them that the government was stable and he would warn them if we were going to attack them. Yeah. That's unbelievable. And then actually forcing other leaders in other services to say, you'll listen to me, you won't listen to Donald Trump. And then publicly putting it out in statements and books that have been written by Woodward and other people that show that he did that. And, oh, by the way, he walked away from actually the burning of the church out in front of Washington and said he apologized for being in a picture with the president for the use of the military in political terms, when in fact they had two Marines standing behind Joe Biden last night at the speech. It's unbelievable. And that's how it's slowly working itself into this frenzy. And the people in charge are very worried about being caught. And so now they're taking actions like raiding Mar-a-Lago. They're taking actions to intimidate and use law enforcement to silence political opposition. And it's becoming overwhelmingly evident, and hopefully most Americans are beginning to see it.
Yeah.
I want to say last night, ABC, NBC, CBS didn't even broadcast Joe Biden's speech. It's too bad. I wish they would have, because more Americans could have seen the idiocy of it and the actual corrupt nature and the evil, dark statements that he was making. CBS broadcast to understand Law and Order, NBC, Young Sheldon, ABC, a game show. So how many people actually watched it? Only the very, very strongly associated progressive socialist ideologues that are now trying to take power in the country without
that way.
Yeah. So it's a very dangerous situation, and this administration has failed miserably to do anything to defend or protect this nation.
Well, Jim, let me interrupt you. We've got about a minute left here, actually less than a minute left here to wrap this up. Let me wrap this up by saying I was hoping and praying that last night the speech would be somewhat conciliatory and America would come back together under, I don't care who the unifier is. If it's Joe Biden, that's great. In my opinion, last night simply did not work. And I think the future ahead of us is pretty grim, if you want to know the truth. Stick around, going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment. Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. Time to continue the McKinney-Corlin Political Opinion Hour. We're going to talk a little bit about what the general public is thinking right now, that with some specific examples, what the lockdowns have done to education in terms of our young people. Jimmy, you want to start out?
Yeah, I think, just finishing up on last night's speech, where Biden, is saying he's trying to, recover the soul of the nation, and the Republicans, especially MAGA Republicans, they're very specific. MAGA Republicans are against the Constitution and against, civil rights. But
yeah,
the problem is that's completely opposite of what people are saying. The conservatives that supported opening schools, the conservatives that supported no vax mandates, the states that stayed open, the economies that kept going when the Democratic economy started shrinking, when the more blue states we're closing things down, are exactly why you're having a very powerful movement towards the America First, MAGA, whatever, Make America Great Again. I mean, how can you really argue against Make America Great Again? It was a brilliant campaign scheme. So you've got Joe Biden making these comments and actually twisting people while we're facing very serious issues. And one in particular is the impact on education. And there was a study that just came out from the basically from the Education Association that's responsible. They call it the scorecard for the nation, or the report card for the nation. And they've been taking, since the late 70s, they've been annually taking tests on nine-year-olds to take a look at how academically they're doing. And what turns out, and they actually shape it in because of the COVID-19 pandemic, the testing shows that students lost in mathematics and reading an entire generation of improvements in skills. An entire generation. And that,
Jim,
is,
you want to cite some of those studies, please?
Pardon me?
You want to cite some of those exact studies?
Well, yeah, that's what I was just talking about. The national, it's the National Academic, right now the actual words popped out of my head, but the study's been posted. It's actually being reported in a number of different places, and they're done annually. So it's not something surprised or, you know, inconsistent with what we've seen in the past. And those studies are showing a significant reduction in academic achievement in mathematics and reading,
right,
for students in America.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's just, the sad thing is, it was specifically because students were locked out of classrooms. And the study points out that they need to have more in-person learning. They're shaping it as the COVID pandemic lockout, but it's basically the decisions that forced classrooms to close. And those decisions were based on advice that came from the CDC, from people like Anthony Fauci and Deborah Birx, from the entire task force, and then perpetuated and continued under the Biden regime to an extreme level, to where I moved from the state of Washington so I could get my kids back into school.
Yeah, I know,
and
you did.
And if you remember, back in September of 2020, I wrote an article, Epoch Times, specifically outlining the no impact to children. And all the data was there since May, really, everybody knew. And most European countries had actually understood that. But here in the United States, the teachers' associations, the teachers' unions, heavily lobbied the Democratic leadership and Democratic Party and used it to really infuriate people, but also to lock children out of classrooms when there was absolutely no evidence that there was a risk to children and that they did not pass the virus very effectively at all.
Right.
In spite of mainstream media, CNN saying that they were, quote, disease vectors. That was absolute lying, manipulation, and fraud. And it has now caused a generational decline in academic scoring for children that will take really years, if not a couple of decades, to recoup.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I don't disagree with that because I know what happened to your kids. If I'm not mistaken, your son, who was valedictorian of the Blaine High School senior class, valedictorian, top student, et cetera, when he got back to college on the East Coast, he had to take courses over again. That was my understanding.
He did. He had to take, he took calculus. He took it again, and he was behind. My daughter was an AP student. She was the top of her class, a couple years behind William. She came back, and she's been struggling to catch back up because they stayed open out here much longer.
Right.
They went back into in-person schooling. Of course, there's also the mask requirements that were absolutely ineffective, and all the science proved it. But unfortunately, we still have people out there that believe the lies that have been perpetuated about about what would stop the virus or not. And it's really these lies that just continue to undermine any confidence in these major once respected institutions.
Yeah. Well, this provides a great segue over into what's happening economically in the United States right now. The Democrats are saying we're farther ahead than we have ever been. More people are at work right now than have ever been at work, et cetera, et cetera. As we have chatted in the past, employment numbers are a very interesting thing in the sense that they are very easy to manipulate. I would have to say that from what I have seen on the street, that in my area, my part of the country, I would have to say that employment is really not doing too well. Too many people are not working because they don't have to, because the government is paying them not to work. Kind of scary to me, Jim.
It is. And I think, you know, that's you've got contradictory numbers. You've got an increase that just came out with more jobs created, but you've also got a rise in unemployment. And some analysts are saying, well, okay, the rise in unemployment means that's a good thing because that'll maybe have an impact on inflation and maybe the Fed won't have to raise interest rates so much higher. But I think what we're seeing is we still have not recovered to full the same level of numbers of people in the workforce that we had prior to the lockdowns. So once again, here's a here's an example of the economic impact and the entire idea that this regime right now is perpetuating, that we didn't go into recession last quarter. You know, these types of spinning and absolute lying means that people aren't taking the right actions to solve the problems in order to improve them for the better. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing a different take in the labor market right now. We are definitely still, you know, pretty high in inflation. You know, you can't say that because 1 month we had a flat level of inflation that somehow we've beaten the curve on it. We don't know. And as we see, there's going to be continued inflation for a period of time until we get ourselves into an economic dilemma. Hey, Al, I did want to real quickly, the name of the report that I was talking about, it's called the Nation's Report Card, was actually done by the Nationalists. It's called the National Assessment of Educational Progress. It's published out there. It has a very, very bleak picture of what's happening in America right now, specifically with nine-year-olds. And it's really some of the worst impact that we've ever seen in the slowdown in academics. We've been gaining ground for decades with kids in math.
Jim, we got 10 seconds.
Yeah. So, okay.
We're going to that over into big the impact. Next segment. We'll take that over into the next segment. Stick around. Hey, welcome back here to wrap up the McKinney-Corlin Political Opinion Hour. Jim wants to talk a little bit how free speech is being silenced in America today. Jimmy, you're on, bud.
Yeah, so I think the most important thing for people to understand right now is that, you know, that First Amendment that allows us free speech, that guarantees us free speech, and states that because of the rights we were born with, we're able to speak, not because the government allows us these rights. They're being trampled on and pressured in all corners. But most importantly, to understand that the U.S. government right now has been heavily involved in silencing people's speech. And they're doing it through influence in big tech. And a lot of it started along with the COVID pandemic crisis, where a lot of it's been going on for a long time. The CIA has been very involved in doing psychological operations and influencing media. That was originally in 1947 with the National Security Act, an effort to stop the flow of communism, to protect the fundamental principles of our nation. Well, what we see is this complete inversion now, where we actually have progressive ideologies, more communist views, and the government is now suppressing people that want free and open conversations. And they're using these massive capabilities within big tech. So we have heard over the last, you know, week that, you know, the FBI reached out to Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook and warned them of Russian disinformation, which is why Facebook and their senior leadership actually silenced the Hunter Biden laptop story a few weeks before the election. That's direct interference with an election process, and that's using the FBI to do it.
Yeah.
We now have a reporting that over 50 individuals within the Biden administration have been involved in multiple agencies. I believe 12 agencies have been involved in either dictating or influencing media outlets and tech companies in order to silence information they claimed was disinformation on COVID vaccinations and so forth. But what it turns out is that, in fact, the information the government giving out, the government was giving out, was actually inaccurate. So here you've got this problem, this massive problem of major elements within the United States government going directly against what the principles of the Constitution are in order to silence individuals, organizations, and even media outlets and intimidate them with both law enforcement, threats of violence, and just cooperation. And of course, many of these tech companies, even if they didn't want to be involved in that, they're doing it because they know the potential regulatory impact of not following what the government says. And we're seeing this across the board. And I think it comes down to an orchestrated effort by key individuals within the Biden administration. And I think some of our blog people have actually mentioned them in particular. People like Lisa Monaco, who was actually in the Obama administration and an advisor, who is now the deputy attorney general, using law enforcement in order to target a political enemy of this regime. Avril Haines, the director of national intelligence, who was involved, who was deputy director of central intelligence. And, you know, she was on the National Security Affairs Council for the White House for Obama. She, again, is one of these people that have infiltrated in and using the powers of the intelligence community and shaping intelligence in order to achieve political ends. And of course, the person behind most of this is the political advisor to the president, which is Susan Rice. All of three of these women were very closely associated with the Obama administration, have tremendous influence over the Biden administration, are continuing policies that started back in the Obama administration, and they are using powers, along with many others in this government, in order to silence individuals, to target and threaten people with the intelligence community and with the Department of Justice.
Yeah, it's kind of scary how that's going on. I mean, the front and center, you've got Facebook, and then you've got Twitter and all the rest of them. You know, when there are things you simply cannot say, and I know that the progressives would say, well, you can't say certain things because they are lies. How do you respond to that, Jim?
Yeah, you know, when you have someone like the White House spokesperson in a public setting, actual in the daily briefing, arguing with a news reporter who says people are crossing the border on foot, yet a famous tennis player can't fly in because they're not vaccinated, but people are walking across the border on foot and they're unvaccinated and they're being distributed around the country.
Right.
And she says, that's not true. But it's true. We all see it. How does a spokesperson for the White House say that's not true? I think Tucker Carlson did a fantastic piece on this last night, showed a lot of visual statements and factual statements of what she said, which were complete lies. Mm-hmm. The lying is preposterous. It's unbelievable. It's insanity. But there are a certain segment of the population, far too many actually, that hear this stuff and just think that want to trust the government or are so politically aligned one side or the other that they ignore the reality of what's happening in America right now. And it's really damaging to this country. There has to be some sort of pushback. And when you have President Biden come out last night and basically target people and specifically outline it, you have to wonder if, in fact, maybe that's a justification as a national security threat for the President of the United States to sign documents that will allow him to pursue and prosecute people that actually support, quote, MAGA agenda.
Yeah.
I mean, that's well, exactly as what happened
as Biden,
with the Nazi
as Biden said last night, you got to stand up and fight, as he said, and that's
I'm sorry, say that again. I missed it, Al. You stepped over you a little bit.
As Biden said last night to his believers, you have to stand up and fight.
Yeah, and you got to wonder what fight what. You know, I live in a neighborhood with nice people. I am friends with people around me. Some of them are liberal. Some of them are conservative. Some of them are more conservative than me. Some of them are off the rails. And why in the world would a president stand up and divide our nation that way? I do not understand.
I don't know.
And why would he then
obviously,
use the powers
I do know. He
to
wants
silence
to win the election.
Me? Well, and they're so desperate. And what it shows is a level of desperation, in my view. And I've said this before. I've said it on the show. I've said it off camera. I've said it in many speeches. When an authoritarian regime, someone that has a tendency towards authoritarianism, when they are under pressure, their only solution for survival is to become more stringent, to become more regulatory, to use violence and force.
Right.
And unfortunately, with people like Mark Milley is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and with some of these political operatives inside Washington in the Department of Justice and with the Counterintelligence Division in the FBI, you have to wonder how far they're willing to go and when will people push back or when will there be enough pushback to stop this encroachment on individual liberties and civil rights?
You know, I got to tell you, I don't know. It's pretty obvious the tact that one of the two major political parties is taking right now, and I think that's too bad. I wish we could simply have civil conversation about our differences. I have not seen a civil conversation about our differences yet, Jim.
Well, and here's the problem.
Less than a minute, Jim.
Yeah, I got it. I'm watching the clock here. Here's the problem we're facing. So Republicans have wanted a civil conversation. People like Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy.
Right.
Kevin McCarthy became milquetoast. Hey, you're not worried about inflation. You know, you're blaming other people, whatever. These people, they think that they can negotiate.
Right.
The problem is the extreme on the left, they have no desire to negotiate. They don't want to negotiate. They want to manipulate. And they don't have a moral high ground or a moral standard. They will lie. They will do whatever it takes for victory. And unfortunately, I don't want to lose the moral high ground. I want to continue to do what's right, and I want to treat people with respect.
Right.
But the problem is the other side is going to use whatever advantage they can, and unfortunately, that's very detrimental.
Yeah. Well, it is very detrimental. We're going to see what happens. We've got an election coming up here. We got what I would call almost a primary election coming up this year. It'll be very interesting to see what the results of that are, and we'll certainly discuss it and opine on that also. Thanks for listening.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.